Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah? Speaking English with people from different cultures is an enriching experience. However, if you're not mindful of the other person's cultural background, you could accidentally come across as rude or even offensive.
In today's episode, we will give you some tips on how to be more polite in English and how to phrase your questions in a way that is not considered insulting to some people.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
blissful
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding the bus, walking the catwalk, or even
people watching.
I'm joined here in the global studio by the one, the only, the most lekker teacher in all of South Africa, Kase. How's it going, Kase?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Ethan.
So what would it mean if you accidentally come across as rude or offensive? What does come across mean as a phrasal verb?
So as a phrasal verb, to come across means to appear or to seem rude or offensive.
So you could use that a lot, like if you met someone new, right? And you could say like, oh, he came across as someone who's very friendly, or he came across a bit arrogant, right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So it's the impression that you leave on the other person.
As they say, first impressions are very important. So in this podcast, we'll be talking all about how to leave a great first impression and avoid coming across as rude. So without any further ado, we're going to start with a bit of a fun segment. We're going to actually look at some real life awkward interactions.
So I think these are both tweets. So the first one, I guess, is from a guy who says that the elevator doors opened and a guy walked in. It was just me and him in there. He suddenly said, "I love you." And I'm not a rude man, so I said, "I love you too." He gave me a weird look and pointed at his Bluetooth earphone. OMG, why?
That is, it's like so good. I think like elevator situations that you don't want to, you just are better off not saying anything to someone in an elevator. Pretend that you don't speak English or the language, because anything you say in an elevator to a stranger could come across as awkward.
Even if it's just a friendly hi, you know, it could be a bit creepy. Like,
it could become a disaster.
Yeah, exactly.
So the second one is a woman, and she says, "I work at a bank, and this lady came in with a $150,000 check. And to make conversation, I was like, 'Oh, wow, I wish I had one of these.' Then she was like, 'It's a life insurance check. I would rather have the person.'" So this is a rather morbid one.
Yeah, I think this is one of those, like that situation. It was meant to be humorous, like, oh, I'd love to have one of these, you know, like I'd love to have this amount of money. But yeah, no.
A life insurance check, what is that?
A life insurance check is basically money that you receive after someone dies. It's money that obviously this person had paid over the course of, you know, a certain amount of time or over the course of their life. I don't know how long they've had that life insurance. But yeah, so it's an amount of money that the insurance company pays out after you die.
Yeah, so that definitely came back to hit her in the face. Poor, I don't have her name, but this poor woman that works at the bank. I think she definitely learned a lesson. So, well, both these people that we just shared. So the reason that we're sharing these is because they have something in common, which is sometimes it's a really bad idea to jump to conclusions or assumptions. We talked about this last week, even in fact, that we said, you know, you should never assume anything because it makes an ass out of you and me. And we say this because, you know, if you make an assumption that this check, she got it for something positive, or that the person said, "I love you," you know, to you, you weren't thinking that maybe they're on the phone with someone, which is very common nowadays, then, you know, you might end up making an ass out of yourself. So don't assume anything. And we're going to talk about ways that you can come across as not being offensive, that you can avoid, you know, assuming something or saying something that sounds presumptuous. So yeah, without any further ado, we might as well just jump into today's main topic, all about how to not sound offensive. If you're like most learners, then you probably get frustrated when you learn a new word, and then when it's time to speak, you've completely forgotten it. Now, I found that after I learn a new word, one of the best solutions to this is to use it as soon as possible. But what happens if you simply don't have somebody else to speak English with? Well, that's exactly why we created the Real Life app, which is the only place where anytime, anywhere you have an internet connection, you can simply press a button and instantly be connected to another English speaker in another part of the world to have a conversation and practice speaking together. So you will improve your listening skills, learn advanced words, and build confident, natural English. Also, you will have conversations every day with people from all around the world, discover other cultures, talk about your passions, and even be able to practice everything that you're learning with this lesson. So if you want to go from being a lost and insecure English learner to becoming a confident and natural English speaker, download the Real Life app for free right now by clicking the link on the description of this episode. Or you can search for Real Life English in the Apple app or Google Play Store. What's the first tip that we have to avoid sounding rude, Kase?
So the first tip is to avoid closed-ended questions. So these are questions that you could answer by simply saying yes or no. And you should try using open-ended questions instead. So a great example is when it comes to like asking someone personal questions, like, do you have kids? The answer would be yes or no, but it does come across sort of, it's too personal. I don't know you well enough. I don't know your intention. I don't know why you're asking me this. So instead you could say, do you like kids? Or
do you have any young people in your family?
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that. I don't know if that would be less offensive, but there's a lot of like a parenthesis too. There's always like a lot of context depending on the culture that you come out of, because I know in some cultures it's very normal to ask people, do you have kids? And in other cultures it's like, that's too personal. I just met you. Why are you asking about my kids? And the same thing, like we've encountered this a lot on the Real Life English app, you know, that you can press a button, you connect to someone from a different culture. And one thing we've noticed, for example, people from India there, I actually had a conversation with a woman named Jennifer Kumar, who's an expert on this. Like she helps specifically people from India to kind of have more cultural awareness when doing business with people from other parts of the world. But of course, this is important no matter where you're from. But that's one thing that's very normal in India is, you know, when you meet someone new is to say, you know, are you married? And to ask questions about people's family. That's a way that you connect. But if you ask someone in many other countries that, it can be like, you know, it's too personal. It seems like it seems kind of like a random, very personal question, right? To ask someone.
Exactly. Or even like a flirtatious question. Like, are you asking because you're interested
yes.
in me?
Like, it could be that as well.
Exactly.
Especially depending who you're talking to. So that's why closed-ended questions where the answer is usually just like a yes or no, they sound kind of, you know, like you're making an assumption, right? Like we actually had an example from the app. Do you want to share that?
All right. So a great example, as you mentioned, is a situation that we came across with an app user who mentioned that he was having a conversation with someone else who he had just met, obviously, on the app. And they were talking for a little bit and everything was fine initially. And then he asked the question, are you African? And the other person was quite offended by this question. He was like, why are you asking me this? And he responded in a very rude way. And the person who had asked the question, didn't understand why the other person was offended. And he wanted to know if there was anything offensive, you know, about this question. And it's exactly that. Are you African? Like, why are you asking this question? You know, what are you insinuating? What are you implying? Why? Where is it coming from? Are you basing it on the way that I look, on the way that I sound. And obviously we don't want to ask people questions that make them feel as though we're judging them. So instead of asking that, he could have said, you know, tell me more about where you live, or, you know, tell me about your country or your culture or something like that.
Yeah, which is like much more open-ended, right? And that those kind of questions are good too, because they lead to more conversation. And also, there's obviously nothing wrong with being from Africa. I think if someone asked you that, Kase, you probably wouldn't be too offended, because like, you are from Africa.
Yes.
But I think the problem here was, I imagine maybe the person, because like their skin color or maybe their accent or something like that, that the person assumed that they're from Africa, which I think if you're not from Africa and someone assumes that you're Africa because of something, you know, like physical like that, then it could sound offensive. It could sound like even discriminatory, depending on how you ask it. So there's nothing wrong with being from Africa, obviously, but asking where do you come from is a much better question than assuming that the person's from a place because of how they look or how they sound or something like that. And the next tip we had is, indirect questions tend to sound more polite than direct questions, right? So do you want to give an example of that?
So an example of this would be, instead of asking, what do you work with? You could ask, could you share something with me about your job or profession? You know, it's exactly what Ethan said earlier. Like, you're making room for a conversation. You're making room for like adding details and sharing, you know, information about, you know, different parts of your job or whatever the question is. So, you know, when you're asking, what do you work with? Like, you're, you know, do you work with, you know, finance, marketing? You're asking something very specific, and it also feels a little bit too personal. Like, why do you want to know exactly what I work with? Why are you not just asking sort of a general?
It's kind of similar to the closed-ended questions, in that the answer could just be a single word, right? So what do you work with? And you could say marketing or finances or medicine. And, you know, with an answer like that, then it can be kind of awkward, right? It's like, okay, where do we go from here? But if you ask that, you know, could you tell me about your job, or even like, you can think of something more creative, like maybe even, for example, if you're using the app and you're going to, you know, you're going to connect to another random person, you could have like a list of questions that you can ask, you know, if you kind of get to an awkward silence or something like that. So maybe you could ask, instead of saying, you know, what do you work with, or what's your job, or something like that, you could say, what's your favorite thing about, you know, your area of work or the company that you work for, or something like that, that might lead to, you're kind of tickling the person's ego in one sense, right?
Yeah.
And in another sense, you're also asking a question that they might have to like think about it a little bit. And I think the answer ultimately will be much more interesting, and it'll allow for more of a verbal ping pong of them saying something. And then, you know, they might ask you about what you like about your job, and it just leads to higher level conversation, I'd say.
What does it mean to tickle someone's ego?
Yeah, or we might say like massage someone's ego, right? Yeah. Is your ego is basically like your... it's kind of like the part of your psyche that has to do with yourself, which people tend to like things that make them feel good about their ego, about their, you know, sense of self. So people like questions that they get to talk about themselves. Pretty much everyone likes to talk about themselves and talk about the great things about their life or about their job or, yeah. So you can tickle people's ego.
Yeah. It's basically like your... when you're asking them questions that you're interested in, you know, it's all about you. When you're making the conversation about the other person, like asking them questions about things that they like, you know, it really becomes a more pleasant situation where this person's enjoying themselves. As Ethan mentioned, like, we love talking about ourselves or things that we're interested in. So, yeah.
And I think with any of these questions, like if you're in doubt, it's always, I mean, becoming more socially adept is all about, you know, practice, like anything, right? So you can always kind of pay attention. If you see that someone looks offended by the question you ask, or there's a one-word answer and it's kind of like awkward after, then, you know, it's just, you don't have to feel too hurt about that, but it might just be, okay, maybe I should avoid that question in the future. Maybe it's just this person. Maybe they're just having a bad day. You never know. But I think just being kind of perceptive to how people react, you know, does it lead to them getting passionate and excited to answer your question, or does it lead to just like them saying one word, or, you know, kind of blocking off from you in some way, or making a weird facial expression?
Exactly. There's also, you know, stereotypes that are, you know, a big problem. Like this example, like, you know, you're chatting with a Brazilian and you say, oh, you're Brazilian. Do you play soccer? you know, like that's like, oh, really? You had to go with that stereotype. So instead, you could say something like, oh, you're Brazilian. Could you tell me a little bit more about what you like to do for fun in Brazil, or what you like to do for fun? You don't have to add the Brazil again. So yeah, it's better to avoid stereotypes or generalizations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I think that that's a very good tip for any situation. You know, don't make those assumptions. So a final tip that we have before we move on to the second part of the podcast is that, you know, you can kind of take the first step by sharing something about you first. You know, like we could go back to saying like, I'm from Brazil, and like something really special that you have to try if you come here is eating açaí. Like, do you have any special dishes that you like there in South Africa, for example? And I think that's a way to kind of, the other person will open up because, you know, you're sharing first. Or that's kind of like a superficial example, but maybe also if you're wanting to ask about the person if they have kids, mm-hmm. because like you have kids and, you know, you're interested in talking to other parents or something like that, then maybe it's better to say like, you know, I have two kids, and maybe like just talking, they're 5 and 10 years old, and like sharing a little bit about them. And then the other person will probably feel more open to also share about like their family.
Exactly.
But yeah, then if you just say like, oh, Kase, you're from South Africa. Do you have any kids? Like, we just met.
Yeah, exactly.
You're probably gonna be like, weirdo.
Exactly. Yeah, it's also important to like bear in mind that just because you're sharing first, it doesn't necessarily mean this always works. You know, sometimes you'll tell me something and I might not want to reciprocate. I might not want to do the same. I might not want to share as well. But I think it is a good way to let the person know that you are open. You're open to, like, you know, sharing about yourself. And if they feel comfortable, they will most likely do the same. So, yeah.
So before we move on to the final part of the podcast, we're going to talk about some conversation killers that you'll definitely want to avoid, and things that you can say if you're, you know, on the receiving end of one of those types of questions that maybe makes you feel a bit awkward or that you don't want to answer. We have a shout out for a very special app user and listener.
So today's shout out goes to Andrezi, who says, it really is a wonderful app. It has helped me a lot to develop confidence in speaking, and I realize that my listening is also better. The tool for talking to other students in English is great, works really well, and gives me an experience I wouldn't have otherwise. I highly recommend it. The videos on YouTube are great too, and complement the learning experience. It's really amazing. Thanks to the responsible team.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Andrezi, for taking the time to leave us that 5-star review. And I'm so glad that the app's been helpful to you. And so, dear learner, because we're doing all about how to not be offensive when you're having a conversation with someone, I want to actually challenge you. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, then what are you waiting for? It's absolutely free. Go to the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, download it, and sign up and give it a go. And if you're already listening to this podcast on it, I want to challenge you to actually go to the speaking part of the app and press that button, connect to someone, and try some of these questions that we've tried today. Some of the, obviously, the not rude ones, the ones that are more polite, and just kind of, you know, play around with this and kind of see what kind of responses you get from people. So that's definitely the best way to improve your English, is to use what you're learning right away. So go for it. You can do it. We believe in you. It just takes 4 minutes out of your day. And if you enjoy the app, then be sure to leave us a 5-star review in your favorite app store, because it helps other people from all around the world to find us, to have fun learning with us, to join you in the speaking part of the app so you can make new friends. And if you don't have the app yet, you can also help us out by leaving a 5-star review either in Spotify or in Apple Podcasts. So that's enough of tickling our own egos. Let's jump into our last couple of tips of the day.
So conversation killers are topics that you should avoid when speaking with someone that you're not really close to. So maybe someone you've just met, or a coworker, or, you know, someone that you just, yeah, you don't have that much of a relationship with this person.
Not good elevator conversation.
Yeah. And these are topics like religion, politics, money, you know, sexuality, things that, you know, are a little bit more personal, right?
Yeah. And of course, this depends what country people come from. You know, they might be more or less open to talking about these topics. But it's a safe bet that if you just met this person, like, don't ask them their political affiliation. Don't ask them what they thought, you know, about the recent election in your country or in the United States or wherever it is, or about Brexit or whatever the case is. Don't ask them how much money do you make in your job. Don't ask them, are you married? Like all these things, it's just kind of a safe bet to avoid kind of putting a damper on the conversation.
What is a damper?
I'm thinking like in the old days when they used candles for lighting, that it's like something that you would press on top of a candle. Maybe that's like to put a damp on, like literally. But we say like if you put a damp on a conversation or on something, it's kind of like killing its vibe in some sense. Like, you know, if you're at a party and everyone's having a good time and then you bring up that your cat just died or something like that, that would definitely put a damper on the party because like now everyone's really sad about your cat.
That's true. Good example.
So we talked a lot about these conversation killers in episode 302 of the podcast, which you can find linked in the show notes, which you'll find linked in the description of this episode. So be sure to check that out. And then for our final tip of today, we mentioned that we would give you some things that you can say if you get asked one of these kind of rude or awkward questions and you don't feel comfortable answering it, but you still don't want to be rude yourself, or you know, you want to give the person the benefit of the doubt that they didn't mean to offend you or that they're not necessarily like hitting on you or something like that. So do you want to share the first one, Kase?
Sure. So the first one, the first response you could give is, I'd rather not talk about it if you don't mind, or I'd rather not say. So for example, someone asks you, are you planning to have more kids? Well, I'd rather not say. So yeah, it's a nice way to let them know that, you know, you're not comfortable and you'd prefer not to answer the question. And it's nice, you know, adding the if you don't mind is always, you know, it always softens the response. So yeah, it's a good way to go.
Also using the conditional in the sense like the I'd is I would rather not say, I'd rather not talk about it. Using conditionals in general is a more polite way of speaking. And the next one also uses that. So you'd say, I'd like to talk about something else if you don't mind. Or, you know, could we change the topic, please? Or something like that, which obviously, like, still saying that it's going to be a little bit abrupt, right? A little bit awkward. But it's like, if you really don't want to answer the question, it's much better than just than answering it and feeling uncomfortable or, you know, putting up like an awkward silence or something like that. And, you know, it'll be quickly forgotten. In 5 seconds, the person will, you'll move on to sports or to hobbies or something like that, and it'll be forgotten.
Exactly. I think with these, I would say that, you know, say it with a smile. Like, you don't want, because by saying this, you're actually also, you might also make the other person feel awkward if they also didn't mean to offend you. So you're giving them that benefit of the doubt, and you're going like, oh, I'd rather not talk about it if you don't mind. So now you don't want them to feel bad because you're not answering their question. So you just say it with a smile and, you know, move on after that. Yeah.
Maybe even something good you could do here is if you say like, you know, I'd rather not say, but, you know, what do you think about the World Cup coming up, or, you know, proposing another topic. So just, I don't know, it's almost like a maneuver, right? That you're kind of like avoiding the question, but then you're pairing it with a question of your own. So at least you keep the conversation going.
Exactly. Yeah, that awkward silence is worse than the question itself. So,
right.
Yeah. Another thing you could say is, I'm afraid I don't feel comfortable answering that question. Could we change the topic, please? So yeah, like, you know, proposing a change of topic is also a good way to, you know, move forward or move on from that awkward moment.
Yeah. And then you could even like continue with that with saying like asking another question or saying like, what do you think if we talk about XYZ, like one of your, something that you're actually like comfortable talking about, an interest of yours, something like that. So it's just kind of like the idea is to keep the conversation going, right? And I know like on the Real Life English app, like sometimes these things happen that you'll hit kind of an awkwardness, right? The good thing is it's just like 4 minutes or 8 minutes. So, you know, it's over pretty quickly and you move on to someone who you maybe have more chemistry with. So I think that that's good because if you're, you know, out at a party or you're starting a language exchange with someone and you've planned to talk with them for an hour, if it's like in the first 5 minutes, it's awkward, then it's like bad sign because you still have to hold out another 55 minutes.
Exactly. But yeah, I think there's so many things to bear in mind. Like you said, it's the cultural or regional you know, aspect of it. Like, okay, this person didn't mean to offend me. I'm choosing to not respond in an offended way. So we don't want to be rude. So we're going to respond in a, you know, polite, kind way so that we don't offend that person and make them feel bad for asking a question that they didn't intentionally mean to be offensive.
So yeah, we really hope that some of these tips that we've given you today will be helpful. Again, I really want to challenge you, dear listener, go and give some of these questions a try right now. Hopefully you've taken some good notes. If not, you can always go back and listen to a certain part and go have a conversation with someone on the Real Life English app. Or if you're already listening there, then just click the speak part of the app and go jump in a conversation as soon as you finish listening. Only take 4 minutes, so make no excuses. And if you also want to take your English learning to the next level, then be sure to follow our YouTube channels. We have Learnish with TV series. If you are someone who loves any kind of media, TV series, movies, music, we have it for you there. Really fun lessons, probably the most entertaining way to improve your English. And the Real Life English channel, where you can find lessons similar to this one, but in video. And if you're someone who loves Instagram, you can find us at reallife.english. Subscribe to our newsletter, so every Friday you can get a short but inspiring lesson written by the wonderful fluency coach on our team, Nia. And once again, thanks so much for joining us here on the Real Life English Podcast. And we look forward to seeing you, hearing from you next week. 1, 2, 3. Aww, yeah. Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.